From Philippians 1, verses 1 through 11. And I guess I have to use this mic instead of the other mic. But before we open the Word of God, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your love letter to us. Thank you that the Bible continually tells us how much you love us, Jesus. That you were willing to go to the cross in order to purchase for yourself the church. And now then, may we be found faithful and dedicated to you and studying your word and praying and being interested in others. So, Lord, speak to our hearts this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians 1, beginning with verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayer for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, for whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and the depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. We talked about the song of I Look Not Back. It's an old song. I found it in a book that's older than I am. And then when I did look a little bit more, the man that wrote it lived between 1813 and 1832. So it is an old song. But it's a very appropriate song. I look not back. God knows the fruitless efforts, the wasted hours, the sinnings, the regrets. I leave them all with him who blots the records and graciously forgives and then forgets. Wow! What a statement. What a thing to say and to look and to feel at the end of the year. It's always for, at least if you're anything like I am, it's always easy to look back and to say, I wish I had. We can't change the past. So it doesn't do any good for us to look back. God knows all about it. And God sees it all. God knows all about all of our sins. But one of the greatest things that I read in the Bible is that he not only forgives, but that he forgets my sins when I confess them. I could quote many, many scriptures that talk about that he cast sins in the sea of forgetfulness, or in Hebrews 8 and 10, that he remembers them no more. And it's easy to say, well, how could that be? But he doesn't. In 1 Kings chapter 3, God comes to Solomon, and God says to Solomon, I'll give you a choice. You can have wisdom, riches, or long life. And Solomon chooses to have wisdom in order to rule the people of God. And then God makes a great statement there. God comes to Solomon and says to Solomon, if you will live a righteous life like your father David did, wait a minute. What did David do? He committed adultery, didn't he? He murdered Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. I remember David's sins, don't I? But God doesn't. Why didn't God remember David's sins? Well, for one thing, he wrote like Psalm 51, have mercy on me, blot out all my transgressions, wash me and I shall be clean. That's exactly what God did. He took all his sins away. He cast them in the sea of forgetfulness. Praise God, when I confess my sins, they're gone. I can start the new year with a clean slate. I don't have to look back. God knows the fruitless efforts. I don't have to look back at them. The song goes on. I look not forward. God sees the future. God knows what's coming there. You know, all of this here. And then he says, I look not round. God sees, when then fears would assail me and so on. You know, I'd be wretched looking at all the success of everybody and the failures. You know, that type of a thing. I don't even have to, the song talks about looking inward. That would make me wretched. For I have naught on which to stay my trust. Nothing I see save failures and shortcomings and weak endeavoring crumbling into dust. You know, I don't have to look back. I don't have to look around. I don't have to look. God, you know, knows all of these here. But the last stanza, how great it is to stand at the beginning of a new year and with this stanza. But I look up into the face of Jesus, for there my heart can rest, my fears are stilled, and there is joy and love and light for darkness and perfect peace and every hope fulfilled. Wow! How great can it be? That's how we begin this new year. And we don't have to look back. We just look up into the face of Jesus. And you know, God has given us all the equipment in order to do so. And if you've noticed in the bulletin, I have listed there 5 things for you to do. You see, if we look into the Bible, becoming a Christian, what does the Bible call it? It calls it being born again. You know, by faith in Jesus, we become that child of God. Now, I'm a child of God. And with a few other people, I've had fun through the years of my retirement of saying, you know, if the pastor calls the little children to come up in front for something, I'm going to walk up there because I am a little child of God. And by the way, last week there was almost 3 of us that did do that. But I guess the Lord can find us some way. But wouldn't it be tragic if you and I, as Christians, that we would remain where we are when we are born again? When we, by faith, become a child of God and stay right there for the rest of our life? You know, if our children, if they don't grow, we become concerned. We take them to the doctor and what's wrong? How can we make them that they grow? We want them to grow. And you know what we do? We not only take them to the doctor, we find how can we feed them the best formula? How can we feed them the best diet? And we're looking at this more and more. We want them to grow. But wouldn't it be a tragedy if they didn't. And so we want them to grow, but we must grow spiritually. And we can do so. Did you notice that there are five things in the bulletin? Daily, D-A-I-L-Y. Devote a special time to reading the Bible. Always pray. Invite others to know Jesus. Live in the church in love and fellowship. And yield yourself to the Lord. Those five things. Let's look at them this morning. Devote a special time to read the Bible each day. You have to get into the practice of having a definite time each day set apart to read the Word of God. Just as you need physical food each day, you need spiritual food. You can't eat enough food one day a week. You can't eat enough food 2 days, two times a week physically. You can't do that spiritually either. You have to have food in order to live and to serve the Lord. I have laid in the back of church on the round table there and on the side of the table little booklets like this. And you can read through the Bible in 1 year. You will be able to do so. And it only takes about 15, 20 minutes a day to read through the entire Bible. And so if you want to pick one up, you may. If there's not enough of them there and you run out, don't leave church if you want one. I have more in the car. And I'd like you to have them. So you have to prepare each day to read the Bible. You have to ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and into discovering the truths of the Bible. In John 16, verse 3, we read, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth." What a fantastic truth that the Holy Spirit comes when we ask Him and He will guide us in into all truth. He will open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, so that we can learn the wonderful lessons, the wonderful truths of the Word of God. And in Psalm 119, verse 18, it says, "Open mine eyes that I may see the wonderful things in your law." So pray that God will open our eyes that we might be able to see these wonderful things that God has given to us in the Word of God. They are just so wonderful. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." You know, these are the things in the Word of God. So take time. Set a definite time aside. I know life is busy. When you have young people at home and teenagers and everything else, I know that life is busy. And one of this thing of reading at a special time and so on has come to my mind because I remember when I was a child at home, my parents, well, we had to read for turns, but we took time morning, noon, and night when we ate, that we read a chapter, and we read through the Bible. And a lot of my Bible knowledge today has come to me because we read the Bible. And so please read the Bible. Devote a special time to read the Word of God. Secondly, always pray. What is prayer? Prayer is talking to God. As we can talk with one another, talk to God. You know, I remember in school that one of the professors came up and said, "Well, the way you learn to talk to God is with acts, A-C-T-S, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication." Sounds nice. It's good. Wonderful. If that's what you want to do, great. But prayer is talking to God. So as you talk to one another, you can talk to God. Whatever is of interest to you, say it to God. He knows it anyway. I think I heard one time somebody say, do you ever get mad at God? Do you ever tell him that you get mad at him? No, I wouldn't dare tell God that I got mad at him. You know what? He knows it already. He knows what's in your heart. So you might as well tell him. Whatever is in your heart, you might as well talk to him about. Always pray. You know, it's interesting. The Lord Jesus Christ taught us to pray daily. Luke 18, verse 1. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. The first part of each day, I think you and I should follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Mark 1, verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Wow. He took special time. As I say, take time to read the Bible. Take time to pray. Through prayer, you will get to know God better. You're living a victorious life in Christ. Depends on you taking time to pray, to set aside a definite time. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, the body is weak. Why are marriages in problems today? Because of spiritual downfall. Why do people live with gambling and drugs and all of these other things? Why do they do that? Because they don't watch and pray so that they will not fall into temptation. And so we have to do this. And you should have, if you should have difficulty in prayer, be assured that the Holy Spirit understands. And you can do it. Romans 8:26 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings that words cannot utter. Three guidelines that I'd like to give you for effective prayer. Number one, pray according to God's will. So now we got to go back to the Word of God, don't we? You have to know God. You have to know the Word of God in order to pray. Listen to what he says in 1 John 5, verse 14. This is the assurance we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. What a promise. Anything that we ask, He will hear us if we pray according to His will. The second one, ask in faith. James 1 verse 6, but when he asks, we must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. So, pray according to God's word, pray in faith, and the third one is ask in Jesus' name. John 14 verse 13 and 14, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son of Man may bring glory to the Father. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. Wow. What a promise. Anything. Ask in faith. Ask according to His word. And God in Jesus Christ will give it to you. Should you feel that there is some sin in your life that would keep you from praying and from having answered to prayer, there are two things that you have to do. Number one, confess it. Number two, quit it. Stop it. Just that simple. Confess your sins and turn from them. Listen to what Proverbs 28 verse 13 says. He who conceals his sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. How great. So, we got two of them. I better keep it going here. I'll be here until noon. Lock the doors. Number three, introduce Jesus to other people. John chapter 1, verse 40, or starting with verse 40. What a beautiful passage that is. Just a few things there. John chapter 1, listen to what we read here. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard that John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Peter, or brother Simon, and tell him, "We have found Messiah, that is the Christ." Then he brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which means translated Peter. Now, isn't this great? Think of all of the things that Peter has done for the kingdom of God. Think of bold Peter. Think of Peter and John going with Jesus different places. Now, I know I'm just going with a human thing here. But just stop to think once. If Andrew, when he got to know Jesus, and he would have just sat there and said, "Oh, well, I'll let everybody else find out somewhere. Oh, you know, what difference does it make?" If Andrew would have been indifferent, would we have ever heard of Peter? I don't know. Somebody can say, "Oh, yes, God would have called him some other way." And yes, he would have. But just stop to think. Andrew, the moment he got to know, he calls his brother Peter. And then we can go on, because Philip does the same. The next day, Jesus decided to leave Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from Nazareth?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approach, he said to him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is no false." "How can you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus said, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree." You know, here we got people that came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Andrew brought Peter. Who have you brought? It's so easy. Again, here I've got a track, and there's so many of them. You can have eternal life. Jesus cares for you. Jesus is coming again. Here you got the Roman Royal Road of Salvation. It's so easy to hand a track. I've said to people that we also have a track when people say, "Have a good day," like in the grocery store or any other stores or any place. I always reach in my pocket and say, "Nobody ever tells me how to have a good day." And in that track, there's the way of salvation. And so we can do that. You know, Andrew found Peter. We can do that same thing. And who knows what will happen to the people that we present the gospel to. And I know it's easy to say, "Well, I just don't always know what to say." I like John chapter 9. You know what is in there? The man born blind. And wow, after he is healed by Jesus on the Sabbath day, he gets into all kinds of problems. And I like what he will finally say. You know, the Pharisees come up to him and they ask all, even the parents don't want to give too many answers because of, you know, the Pharisees and so on. But this man will finally say in John chapter 9, "I don't know. I don't have all the answers to your questions, but I know that I was blind and now I can see." You know, when people talk to you about Jesus, I can do that too. "I don't have all the answers, people. I know that I was a sinner. I was hellbound. And Jesus came and he's living in my heart and in my life. And he gives me eternal life. And I'm going to go to heaven someday." And you can go to heaven just by loving and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So invite them. You can do so by testimony. You can do so by handing them a tract. Fourthly, live in fellowship of other Christians. This is so important for us to do. If you want to grow, you have to know people who are growing Christians. I remember a long, long time ago that the cadets, we had a camp out. And is what I did in my Bible lesson is I took a stick out of the fire and laid it aside. And it only took a few minutes. That fire went out. You see, the fire keeps burning when you've got all of those sticks piled on top of each other, or all the coals piled on top of each other. The same is true in church. We have to come to church. Yes, because Pastor Ken brings us the true Word of God. Yes, we have to be fed by the Word of God. But we also have to encourage one another. And you do a good job of that. When Mrs. Brummel had that valve replaced in September, you brought food to us. You showed your love. You didn't only talk about it. You showed your love to us. And that's exactly what we have to do. We, in Thessalonians chapter 5, therefore encourage one another and build each other up as in fact you are doing. That's what we have to do. Encourage one another and building one another up in our faith. That's what God calls us to do. That's the church, the body of Christ. There's another text, John 13, verse 35. All men will know you are my disciples if you love one another. Do you really love other people? Do you tell other people that you love them? May I try something? Will you stand? Will you turn to one another and will you say, Jesus loves you and so do I? Will you do that? Be seated. You catch what I'm asking you to do? I mean, we're not used to that, are we? I hope this gets you used to it. To be able to say to people, Jesus loves you, and so do I. By the way, if you call to the Brummels and they're not home, on the answering machine, I put that on there. Jesus loves you, and so do the Brummels. Well, okay, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. The last one, yield your life to Christ's control. Galatians 2:20, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Wow, that's love, isn't it? You know what Jesus is the example of love. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent Jesus from heaven to come here in order to redeem, to ransom, to forgive, to, you know, love is building up. Jesus builds us sinners by grace and makes us the saints of God. That's love. Yield yourself to Christ. Yield yourself to his control and be able to go forth to live and to serve the world in which we are. Because apart from God, nothing is going to happen. You have to yield. Here am I, Lord. Use me. Here am I, Lord. What do you want me to do? When we retired 20 years ago, we made a promise to God. And my promise was this. If a church calls, that's you calling me, and I have to go to preach or do whatever you have called me to do. Can you do that type of a thing? Whenever people call with a need, whenever people call that they're hurting, whenever you see somebody that is hurting, that you can be yielded so much to the Lord Jesus Christ that you say, Lord, use me, so that we can build one another in the faith. Use your hand. Devote a special time to reading the Bible. Always pray. Invite others to come to know Jesus. Live in the church and yield your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? Then you will have a blessed new year. Amen. Father, how thankful we are that you give guidelines and direction for us in all of our life. May it be that we may be able to do that and live to the glory of your name. So, Father, the words that you have spoken to us, may we apply them to our hearts and lives. So walk with us, go with us as we go through the new year. For we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.